On this week's episode, season 5, episode 3 of the Colts Corner podcast, the boys will discuss the New York Jets and the New York Giants' recent struggles, the rest of the NFL, the Thursday night matchup between the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers, and the topic of the week. Episode 3 of the Colts Corner podcast is underway. I'm Constantine Lambridis alongside Christian Selmayr and the Matthew Pastier. Yes. How are we doing today, everybody?
Doing good. After a crazy past couple of days with the election, I'm really happy to be back here and discuss some good old-fashioned NFL football and topic of the week. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm psyched.
We're going to try not to not get too political with the topic of the week today.
Yeah, that would be not the best look for the Colts Corner podcast right now if we got political. Obviously, tensions are very, very, very high right now, and hopefully sports can help bring us back together in this really divisive situation. First off, New York Jets, New York Giants. Obviously, I said they were struggling a bit, and I think that's been obviously a topic of conversation the whole year. New York Jets were at the Kansas City Chiefs and struggled mightily against that Chiefs offense. Patrick Mahomes tossed 416 yards and 5 touchdowns. Easy peasy lemon squeezy for Patrick Mahomes. And Travis Kelce had a big game with 109 yards, 8 receptions. Tyreek Hill, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. It was a bloodbath over there, and the New York Jets looked completely lethargic against that Chiefs offense, and their offense couldn't do anything. They just kicked field goals and scored 9 points. Is there anything the Jets can do at this point to stop themselves from going 0-16?
I mean, that might not have been the best game to use as an example, because you are playing the Kansas City Chiefs, who are one of, if not like the top-tier team in the NFL. Returning Super Bowl champs, they are stacked on all ends of the field. They got receivers, they got RBs, they have Pat Mahomes, they got an amazing tight end, Travis Kelce. I mean, that was like probably the worst matchup the Jets possibly could have gotten, that just exposed how terrible they were, even more so than any other team.
Yeah, that would probably be the most terrible matchup next to any other team playing the Jets.
Gee, Matt, thanks. you really didn't hold back there. But the New York Jets obviously were pretty terrible. I think the only bright spot the Jets had was Denzel Mims catching 2 receptions for 42 yards, which isn't amazing, but, you know, I'll take what I can with the Jets.
That's like 6.2 fantasy points.
That's 6.2 fantasy points.
Times it by two, that's 12 point more.
Yeah, but I guess nothing really came of that, considering they lost 35-9. They covered a 20-point spread. So Jets really weren't looking good there. Giants didn't do much better. Lost 25-23 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tom Brady, who looks anything but washed, throwing 279 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Evans had 55 yards on the day and a touchdown himself. And he completed his 92nd touchdown pass to Rob Gronkowski to break a record.
He overtook Drew Brees in, I think, touchdown passes that game. Or he might have reclaimed.
Yeah, I saw a very bad graphic showing that. So
with there may have not been a seesaw involved. And watching a cartoon of Tom Brady and Drew Brees on a seesaw is something I didn't know I really wanted to see, but I'm very glad that I did. So I just want to discuss that game, go into depth, because like I said last week, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of the best offensive teams in the NFL. I mean, if you look at that offensive lineup, it's just ridiculous. You have Tom Brady at QB. You have Ronald Jones, Mike Evans. You have Leonard Fournette. You just have a sack lineup across the board. And I mean, even though there were some moments I was not impressed with the Giants, that was a really close final score that came down to one missed two-point conversion by the Patriots early and one missed two-point conversion by the Giants late in the game. I mean, by the Buccaneers, I'm sorry.
I kept calling them the Patriots.
Yeah, I know. But
it feels weird seeing Tom Brady in any other jersey.
A 23-25 score is a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. Obviously, we picked up that fumble early in the game. I think that put momentum in our favor very early, you know, scoring early. But Daniel Jones in that game, some highs and he had some lows. What do you guys think about his performance?
That was one of his worst performances. That game doesn't get that close. The Giants win that game if he doesn't throw those two interceptions. Where it could have been at least field goals, at least 6 points. And then Daniel Jones just has to work on decision making. You throw the ball away or you take a sack. You don't just throw it into coverage. That was very disappointing.
Yeah, well, he's a younger quarterback. Right now, you obviously want to see improvements, but if he makes those mistakes every once in a while, definitely excusable. Yeah, but obviously he hasn't progressed. He won his first NFL game, which was his first start, I believe. I believe they beat the Buccaneers in that one.
First the Buccaneers, yeah.
That was off a missed kick by Matt Gay.
True.
I was hyped out of my mind.
Yeah. Jones had two rushing touchdowns and two passing touchdowns.
Yeah, but he had his first win against the Buccaneers and against a really different Buccaneers team. Slightly different Buccaneers team.
Lost Jameis, though.
Yeah, he got the loss over here. So you're saying, Matt, that he hasn't really improved.
I haven't seen too much improvement, just a little bit with the ball security, but his decision-making isn't good right now. But I still believe in Jones, considering this is his second year in a new system with Jason Garrett. And I love Joe Judge, though. Joe Judge is a great coach. Like, he's real. Like, the players love and respect him, and good plays. He like knows what he's doing. Except Jason Garrett just kind of doesn't work with Jones right now.
I do like Jones' ability when he's in the pocket. He can make some good throws and ability to get out of some sticky situations that he can quickly evade because he is pretty fast, which is pretty nice. But I mean, like I honestly like Matt, like you said, if he didn't throw those two picks, but his field goal
Giants
range,
win.
That we very easily could have won. And one player that we did not see last week was Antonio Brown coming off of a suspension. How do you think he's going to fit into that Buccaneers offense when he does make his return to the field?
It's a very, very crowded offense right now. He's going to have to share targets with Mike Evans, who's probably the best jump ball receiver in the NFL today. Chris Godwin, who's one of the best slot receivers in the NFL today. And Rob Gronkowski.
Well, his name's Chris Godwin.
I see what you did there. I think I see what he did.
God
there.
And win. It's double trouble.
Thanks, Matt, for your potent analysis of his last name. And Anytime. Obviously, you got Rob Gronkowski there, too, who just eats up red zone targets, red zone receptions. And I can see Antonio Brown fitting into that system, though. He's a great player. May have to take some targets away from the aforementioned Chris Godwin, but I think that he's coming in a different man. He actually gave his first interview as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and here is what he had to say.
Hi, Antonio. I'm just wondering, what have you been doing in the last several months since you've been away from football, and what have you learned about yourself during that time?
Well, I've just been spending a lot of time with family, working on myself with them, and just staying resilient, you know, keeping the mind on the mission. That's being a football player and doing all the things that come with that. Even when the times got hard, you know, keeping myself in shape, keeping myself motivated from within, not listening to the naysayers or not giving doubt or worries about will I be able to return. You know, I had good trainers, good people around me in my corner that kept me encouraged, that kept me motivated. And I just believe, you know, I knew one day I would get a chance to be back in this position.
So Antonio Brown obviously sounds like he's grateful for this opportunity now.
Hopefully he doesn't get any charges brought against him.
Yeah. Do you think this is just a facade, or is the old Antonio Brown gone and been replaced with this new, more humble, soft-spoken Antonio Brown?
No. If you see some of the things he's done and some of the videos he's done, and there's more things that he's done that people don't really know about. Like, he sued a YouTuber who had him in his video, and like he invited to his house and he sued him for no reason.
Didn't he beat up a mailman a couple months back?
He threw stuff at a UPS driver. He threw stuff at his child's mother, and he's just done a whole lot of things within the media. And now he's just like, he's okay now. He's had some good people in his position. He's not really a good person.
Conspiracy. What if that mailman was carrying all the mail-in ballots and Antonio Brown hampers his delivery, and he's the reason this the count is going so slow. What if Antonio Brown screwed up the alert? I'm just saying. But as much as I want to say it's not a facade and that he has been working, I'm sure he has been working hard physically in football. I think that the real problem with Antonio Brown lies within himself and the way he acts in the locker room, off the field. He's just a bit of a locker room problem, and off the field he does have some discipline issues that I think those are what he really needs to work on. But I hope he can turn things around, and because this Tampa Bay offense is already stacked. So I'm hoping for the best for AV, but I just don't know if it's all true.
Yeah, hopefully Tom Brady can keep AB in line. It seems like hopefully he means what he says, and he seems right here very grateful for this opportunity that he's been given. Hopefully he spoke very highly of Tom Brady, so hopefully he can keep him kind of on a normal frequency. But I guess time will tell. The Buccaneers face off against the Saints, and Antonio Brown is expected to be active for that game after serving a kind of suspension, but not really, after retiring twice. And the Buccaneers need this win just to put themselves in that position to be the clear front runner in the division. They're 6-2. The Saints are 5-2. Who do you think comes out on top of that game?
Buccaneers. I think they. I would be shocked if they don't go to at least the NFC Championship, possibly the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, but if Daniel Jones can almost take him out, what is Drew Brees going to do? This is definitely, I think,
throw past 10 yards.
I mean, this is probably Tom Brady and the Buccaneers' biggest test. It is a team like the Saints who have been solid all around. So I definitely think that, there's a chance that this could be the NFC Championship game.
I don't know.
It's a 7-team playoff now. It's a
actually,
bit different.
No, if there's a wild card.
Yeah, it is possible.
There's a chance they could be the best two teams in the NFC at the end of the season, and one of them is going to be getting a wild card.
Honestly, I think Buccaneers are probably going to end up being second best team in the division statistically, behind the Seahawks. The Saints, though, I think there's a very high chance they get knocked out in the first round. Like you said, Drew Brees is refusing to throw over 10 yards.
The Vikings aren't going to make the playoffs this year, so that's a good sign for the Saints.
Yeah, I guess so. Marcus Williams is no longer on the team, so that may be a good...
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to bring him back after that. Same thing with Cody Parkey, how he wasn't brought back after that, even though he's a rather reliable kicker. Just couldn't hit that one kick. So they didn't want to bring him back after this one. And the Buccaneers probably, I think they're probably going to win by about 10 points. That offense just too high-powered. I think Antonio Brown will get off to a shaky start, maybe have one or two drops. But then after that, I think he'll find his stride and hopefully get a couple yards in towards the end of the game in the second half.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. But it's going to be a fun game to watch. Don't miss it. But tonight, you have Thursday Night Football. Green Bay Packers 5-2 taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Returning Super Bowl runner-ups who are only 4-4. Guys, what do you think about that game?
I think it'll be an easy win for the Packers. Right now, the San Francisco 49ers are missing Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe they're also going to be missing too
and Nick
for a couple
Bosa.
Weeks. And Nick
He's
Bosa.
Been out.
Is Sherman hurt still or no?
I think he is not hurt right now. I think he's questionable, but he will be able.
He could possibly be locking down second string, third string wide receiver this game.
But right now the 49ers offense is not looking good. The Packers their offense has been pretty good. Aaron Rodgers supposedly having a career year for most quarterbacks.
Yeah, and
the Packers didn't pick up any wide receivers in the trade deadline as they were expected.
They don't give Aaron Rodgers any help.
Yeah,
Davante Adams is really good, but that's one of the reasons he's really good because of Aaron Rodgers, but he's also just...
Yeah, the Packers have allowed one sack or less in 6 out of the 7 games this season. So, I mean, they've been protecting Aaron Rodgers pretty well, giving him ample time to throw.
They should have traded for Will Fuller.
Yeah, they really needed somebody like Will Fuller. They needed just any other wide receiver. They're not going to go very far with the guys that they have right now. And Davante Adams can't do all the work.
Aaron Jones is questionable,
but his backup, Jamal Williams, is out. So,
Ooh. They may push him to return right now, and he may see limited action because of that.
It's
going to
be a close game, but Packers win. Closer than people think.
Close game, but Packers will pick
especially
up
with all the Niner injuries.
Yeah, right now the over-under is 48.5 points. Do you think they're over or under for this game?
Under.
What's final score?
I would say 17-10.
Really? Low-scoring game?
Yeah, 24-17, something like that.
Like 2014, 2017, 23-17, something in like the upper teens, lower 20s.
I think it'll probably end up being something like 28-3, probably be the final score. I think the Packers are probably going to get a couple. I think Packers are probably going to get a couple touchdowns, but I don't think the 49ers offense will do anything considering they're missing a lot of high-profile starters. And the New York Giants have the opportunity to win this week. They will be facing the Washington football team at 1 p.m. on Sunday. How does this game end?
Giants probably won't win against them, but then me saying that, they're going to win. Yeah. I don't really care at this point.
And that is the
if we win
team
or lose, it's nice to win, though.
And if we can come that close to the Buccaneers.
As long as Jones plays good. Sorry.
If we can come that close to the Buccaneers, and we could have done better if Daniel Jones just didn't make those two little mistakes. I mean, we beat the football team before. We can beat them again. We've shown we can contend with a top-tier team like the Buccaneers. I see no reason why the Giants can't beat the football team this week.
Now, obviously, there's been some drama in the Giants organization with Golden Tate. Daniel Jones had a couple words for one of his wide receivers. Take a listen.
I have a ton of respect for Golden, and you know, he's a close friend, a close teammate, and he's made a lot of plays, over these last couple of years, and certainly have a lot of trust in him as a player. So, I certainly value our relationship, respect him, and my job is to distribute the ball to our playmakers and let them make plays. So,
Daniel Jones trying to keep the team forever.
Very
together.
Eloquent response from Mr. Jones there.
Yeah. Do you think that Golden Tate's being utilized correctly? He seems to be thinking that he's not. He seems to be believing that he needs more targets, that he needs to be fed the ball more. Do you think that it's just right now? He needs to be targeted less, targeted more?
I don't really know what he expected. He was brought in as a veteran wide receiver to do what he's doing. He's mentoring young receivers. He's not there to be a number one receiver. I do think he needs the ball more. He definitely needs the ball more. But that was definitely not the right way of going about it, yelling at everybody, and Joe Judge had to send him home.
I mean, especially because he almost won us that game with that insane touchdown catch.
Crazy.
At the end of the fourth quarter. I mean, he doesn't get targeted that much, but when he does get targeted, he always impresses me with what he does. So I definitely think that he should be targeted a little more. But like you said, going about it that way, just not how you handle it. That's not how you conduct yourself. And unless you're Antonio Brown.
Definitely a nice grab there that he had against the Buccaneers. Personally, I think if you have a problem with that, you have to take it up with the coach. I'm sure Joe Judge would be more than happy to hear something, whatever Golden Tate has to say. He also retweeted a fan asking for his release. Do you think that this is what the Giants need to do right now to combat this, or do you think it's still salvageable?
They have to keep him. They'll figure it out. I think they need him at least for the rest of the year so the games don't get too far ahead of reach.
Yeah, I mean, unless he, like, freaks out and, like, refuses to play or he just acts like Antonio Brown, I don't see why the Giants would release him. I think they can work it out.
And with other NFL games right now, the only undefeated team left, the Pittsburgh Steelers, will be facing Dallas Cowboys. Should be an easy win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I believe the Steelers could potentially go the entire season undefeated with a 16-0 record. They face Dallas Week 9, Cincinnati Week 10, and Jacksonville Week 11. All three of those could be wins. They face Baltimore on Thanksgiving. Washington the week after, and Buffalo the week after that. Cincinnati week 15, Indianapolis week 16, and they finish their season off at Cleveland week 17. The only matchups that I see them potentially losing or being handed a tough game are week 12 in Baltimore when they're playing the late game on Thanksgiving, and week 14 in Buffalo when they're playing at 8:20 p.m. Could the Steelers go 16-0? Is this conceivable, or will they eventually peter out and lose a game?
It's crazy that, I mean, they're 7-0 now, and I was thinking about this before. They do not have that tough of a schedule left, and they really haven't had that tough of a schedule. Their only like impressive win was probably versus the Titans. Every other game has been pretty close. They almost lost to the Broncos with their backup QB. And they've almost lost. The Giants game was close with them. They play a lot of close games.
Yeah, do the Steelers, being the only undefeated team left, but you noted that they have a very easy schedule, do they have a chance to win the Super Bowl, or are they just regular season darlings, and like the Ravens, they're just gonna fall apart in the first round or second round, whichever they play?
Yeah, I think they can win their first playoff game, depending who they play, and then I would say second round exit. But then again, they do have a veteran QB who could take them to the Super Bowl at any moment, and they have a great defense. Just depends, I guess.
Yeah, they're definitely built for a successful postseason run. Do I think they'll win the Super Bowl? Probably not, but...
They're built, but are they built different? That's the question.
I believe, personally, I don't think they're built different. I think they're just one of those teams. The Ravens last year were not built different. The Titans were built different. I think that this Steelers team, every male over 40 says defense wins championships.
Defense wins championships.
And I think that the Steelers have a good defense, but especially I don't think it's championship
Ravens,
worthy.
Even though that was a close game, I definitely think that is somewhat telling that they were able to defeat a team like
them and the Titans.
Lamar,
I forgot to mention.
And the Ravens.
Lamar Jackson played horrible that game, though.
But yeah.
That was,
you could say the defense made him play horrible.
They did. They made him guess everything. So Lamar, I still think Lamar is.
Even if they do make it to the Super Bowl, I don't see them beating any of the NFC teams that will probably end up making it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like the Giants.
Like the Giants, Seahawks, Buccaneers, Saints. I just don't see them beating any of those teams in the Super Bowl, even if they do make it that far. So I think that, I guess you could call them a contender, but I don't see them winning.
A pretender.
Yeah. And finally, to round out our football segment, the Jets will be playing New England Patriots on Monday. How is that game going to look? Cam Newton obviously been struggling lately, but the Jets are the Jets. Who wins this game? Who comes out on top? What takeaways will we be seeing from this game after?
Jets, because I don't think the Patriots want to win. I think they want to tank now.
I think they're kind of doing like a win boycott. You know, kind of just
the Jets are,
to win.
The Jets been doing a win boycott for a couple of years now, so... personally, I don't think the Jets have it in them. They don't have the fire. They sure don't have the coaching staff. they'll probably lose by a score of probably like 82-0. And hopefully get demoted to
trounced by the Chiefs. It was bad, but I don't think many teams are going to be able to do much worse. I mean, they lost pretty bad, but I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to do much. Are going to beat them even worse than the Chiefs did.
They're pretty bad, Christian.
Yeah, I don't have faith in the Jets. Hopefully they get demoted to the college level and we can finally be done with this.
Trevor Lawrence versus Sam Darnold in the
in the college football championship. That would be a matchup that I would love to see. And something that is somewhat sports related but not really. LeBron James obviously been casted in Space Jam 2. Avid listener of the Cold Quarter podcast, LeBron James been cast in Space Jam 2. But his son will not be played by Bronny James. It will be played by high school football star Sierre White. I have no idea how to pronounce his name, so I apologize if I butcher his name. But he is the 70th ranked prospect in the country as a cornerback. And his son will be played by him.
Okay.
And not Bronny James.
At this point, I'm just watching for Bugs Bunny, possibly Bill Murray, and Don Cheadle.
But I think that was just a story that I find interesting because, once again, like every other player LeBron is acquainted with, he trades his son for an older talent. Sierre White is a senior in high school.
Is he here, wait?
Graduating this year, and Bronny is obviously a sophomore. So once again, LeBron James making moves in free agency, and unfortunately, Bronny had to be released.
Are there any rumors about the situation that Bronny is in right now with regards to his punishment? For those of you who don't know, while LeBron was in the bubble, a video leaked of LeBron James using recreational drugs that obviously didn't that angered LeBron. He, you know, LeBron is known as a role model to many, and he wants to have a good, you know, he wants himself to be a symbol. Set a good example. So obviously his son, who's someone who should be following your example and your lead, doing something like that and posting it publicly, that's something that LeBron did not like. So rumor has it that he is fortunately being grounded right now, but with all the houses that LeBron has and how big they are, I'm sure being grounded in a house like that isn't the worst thing in the world.
Unfortunately, I do not know what Bronny's punishment is like. My sources haven't told me anything, but I assume it's not very good, and we hope for the best for the James family, avid listeners of the Colts Corner podcast. And now moving forward to the topic of the week. We only have one topic of the week today, and it is regarding what is the best current ABC sitcom of the last 5 years.
We said we were getting political. We're getting political before
I'm
getting
sorry.
Into it. Just, I know we're a divided country now, but we had to, you know, we had to discuss
we're
it.
We're going to divide it a little more.
We're
going to
divide it a little more. So we have a list of what we're considering sitcoms from the past 5 years or so. Some of these have gone off the air. On some of these are still on the air. So we, Goldberg's, Fresh Off the Boat, Speechless, Modern Family, Blackish, Roseanne / The Conners. We are not considering them separate shows. The Real O'Neills, American Housewife, The Middle, and Schooled. We won't be including Mixes and Grownish as they are not viewable on ABC, whereas Schooled, although it is a spinoff, it is viewable on ABC. So if you have a cable subscription, we're going to give you the lowdown on what you should and should not be watching on the American Broadcasting Corporation network. So, all right, are we going to start with the best or start with the worst?
Worst, Real O'Neills.
Yes.
Yeah, Real O'Neills has to be the worst. Personally, I've only watched a couple episodes of the show, and I think that's mostly
same.
Because of how terrible and how awful the everything with the show is. I personally don't. What are the characters' names? Do you know the characters' names?
Probably like Real and O'Neill.
I think the show plays on stereotypes, but not in a funny way like some of the other ABC shows. Obviously, the Real O'Neill's mm-hmm. a Irish American family.
If you couldn't guess.
Yes, if you couldn't guess.
What gave that away?
They have a son who's kind of exploring himself and who he really is. Regards to who he loves, and I think they do play off some stereotypes for that in a way that is not funny. I think that the yeah. Irish stereotype isn't played out very well, and overall, I just think that it's not a good quality show and not something that I personally would like to watch. So
yeah. It's more of a punching down on both the Irish community and the gay community, the LGBTQ plus community. So for me, that it's not it. Has to be down there.
That's
we're ranking
a low tier.
It extremely
it's
low.
It's pretty bad. I'm pretty sure it's the worst one. And then probably, what do you guys think? Schooled?
I did like Schooled, actually. I thought for a spinoff, even though the concept was a little ridiculous, especially with characters like Lainey, being that the show takes 10 years later and she looks exactly the same, you do have to use your imagination a little bit and just remember that it is kind of a silly spinoff. But I do think that her and what was the male teacher's name again?
Rick Meller.
No,
the gym teacher.
No,
or
the
oh,
young,
the who's
the
now
guy,
the
who's like who goes by initials. His name is like
he's the guy from Pop Star, right? Are we
about to I don't know, but personally, I think that Schooled is probably the you can make a case for Schooled being the worst show out of the bunch because of how restrictive it is to the Goldbergs, which is supposed to be the main show. Because
oh, CB. I think he's a solid character.
Because you are giving yourself, you're saying that this show is taking place 10 years in the future, which means when it's time for the Goldbergs to end
wait,
their
they
show.
Ended it.
What, Schooled?
Yeah, they ended Schooled.
I wonder
May
why.
Of 2020.
Yeah, because if you put this timeline on the Goldbergs saying everybody has to end up here the writing process for the Goldbergs is severely hampered because now you have to work, instead of organically growing the characters, you have to put them all in these like separate boxes and have them all end up in a specific way instead of exploring what they could potentially go on to after the 80s are over.
But one thing, they did move Coach Mellor from that show, so in order to see Coach Mellor's character, you had to watch School, which was kind of a disappointment because I did really like Coach Mellor. That's kind of the only reason. But now that School is over, they can't really put Coach Mellor back into the Goldbergs now. So basically they pretty much just wasted Coach Mellor's character. Which, although I thought that it was a good show, wasting Coach Mellor's character like that is just inexcusable. But I think that there are a couple of shows that are worse.
Should we move on to the best two shows?
Roseanne
now?
And the Conners. I just want to talk about not a good show. I'm sorry. When the Roseanne reboot came out, I think everyone was a little confused about why they were doing that. And
we knew why.
Full of crude humor.
But we didn't know why.
There was some, attempt at making it like somewhat political with Roseanne and her sister being divided politically. That was, trying to make it all deep and profound. But
I wonder why they were divided.
And then,
look, I don't want politics in my ABC sitcoms. Like, I get it. A lot of families are having that problem right now. Some family members are on the right side. Some family members are on the left side. But I don't want politics. I want to escape politics into this new world. I want to see what's going on with Roseanne. And I want to see something other than politics. I want a distraction. I want to see what Roseanne and her family are doing. And I don't want to look into their political views. I want to see something funny. I want to see comedy. And right now, that's not funny at all.
Not a tragedy.
Interesting take there about it, which I do agree with. So we're going to move on to the best ones. So, guys, what are we thinking about the best ABC family sitcoms?
Goldbergs.
It has to be the Goldbergs. Like, Goldbergs. Me and Christian were discussing this a bit earlier, like a week ago maybe. Goldbergs.
The golden age of the Goldbergs.
The golden age of the Goldbergs.
Seasons 1 through 3.
Our seasons 1 to 3.
And the Ghostbusters episode.
And then the Ghostbusters episode, impeccable. The wrestling episode, amazing. The hockey episode, probably the best episode they've ever done.
Eating SpaghettiOs in the treehouse with Dana Caldwell. Life doesn't get better than that, folks.
And we were really feeling like that was the peak of Adam's childhood.
Of comedy.
And of comedy, too. It was a really funny show, but after season 3, it fell off. Was it because Dana Caldwell left the show? Probably. But I guess we'll just never know. I feel like after that it was more directionless and they were running out of ideas, but those first 3 seasons were just self-generating. They put their own spin on a lot of stuff from the 80s, which I thought was great. And as someone who wasn't even a thought in the 1980s, I think that it really resonates with me just with the thought of being young and having all this time to do all this stuff.
It really puts you in the time period, even if you weren't there, which is what I like. Even if it does rely on nostalgia a little bit too much sometimes. So I think we're in agreement that the Goldbergs is the top tier
show. As someone who was born in the 70s and grew up in the 80s, the show really, hits on all the nostalgia factors, and it really gets to me, and I love it.
Thank you, Mr. Pastier.
For another show.
No problem.
What I think is the second best show, this might be a little unpopular. I got to go with Modern Family. Solid all around. Always delivering, even in its last few seasons, from its first season to its last season. I honestly don't know how they kept it fresh with characters going to college, moving out, but they kept everything together. They kept the family intact, and it made sense, unlike the newer seasons of the Goldbergs, where it feels like they're doing everything they can as Barry and Erica grow up to keep them in the show when it doesn't make sense. And sometimes the Goldbergs just get a little ridiculous. But Modern Family, it's always funny. You'd be cocoa nuts not to like it.
Yeah, personally, I think Modern Family is one of those shows. It's good, not great. Like, they're always critically acclaimed. They're always up for Emmys and all of this stuff, which is cool.
Because
it's a good
Jay.
Yeah, which is cool. It's a good show, but personally, it doesn't reach that Goldbergs factor that I that I want to see from my.
I guess
ABC
you could
sitcom.
Say it doesn't reach the gold standard. Mm.
It's a plan where it's because gold and Goldbergs. I'm here all day.
Finally, one of the sitcoms I want to talk about ended too soon, fresh off the boat. I believe the show is off the air now, but in its heyday, it was glorious, fresh off the boat.
Very great. From the first episode with the Lunchables to the last episode, which I didn't watch.
Yeah, me neither. Sadly. But it was always a solid show. And I want to contrast this. I want to contrast Fresh Off the Boat with the Real O'Neills. Well, the Real O'Neills punched down with their comedy, and it seemed very, very just stereotypical. I feel like Fresh Off the Boat's comedy was more relatable to the Asian community without insulting them. And it wasn't something that if somebody from the Chinese or Asian community looked at, they wouldn't get offended by it. I think they would relate to it.
Hopefully and they don't listen like to the podcasts. They'd be pretty disappointed.
They would be very disappointed in me. I feel like I apologize to any Taiwanese listeners of the podcast. But personally, Fresh Off the Boat, good show, I'd say. Ended too soon.
Yes.
And Matt, what is your take on another good ABC? I think I know
the
what
middle.
You're going to say.
Very good show. Underrated. Always funny. It's always funny in Philadelphia. Okay.
And that
but
wraps...
But the middle takes place in Indiana.
That wraps up today's podcast. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Doxy, Mr. Rashudi, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the class of 2016 for their generous donation to our podcast setup. I'm Constantine Lambrus, Christian Tellmeyer, Matthew Pastier, and we will see you next time.
Wash your hands, bye, dogs.